With the waters of Buzzards Bay lapping on the shore nearby, RPM News Weekly presents Rick's Tech Talk. Here in the RPM studio, I've got Cousin Rick on the line in Needham, Massachusetts. Good afternoon, Cousin Rick.
Good afternoon, Rich. I hope you're enjoying the day.
Yes, we're finally out from some rain, but I think it's just for a very, very temporary reprieve. We're supposed to get some more later in the day. How about you up there in Needham?
Well, it's unseasonably warm in the 50s.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. We've been getting some warm weather, but mixed in with those really cold nights that we had over the weekend. So what have you got for us this week?
Okay, well, the ride of the week is the Maverick XLT front-wheel drive hybrid. The mid-sized truck, the Ford Maverick, and being a hybrid, the specs on that, it's got 191 total horsepower, combined horsepower, and the EPA numbers are 40 miles per gallon city, 30 miles per gallon highway, for a combined number of 37 miles per gallon, which is just about right on what I got with driving the vehicle for a couple hundred miles around the area. Now, this is a bare bones economical vehicle.
Okay, that doesn't mean crank windows, I hope.
No crank windows, and it economical. It comes in at an MSRP around $24,500. Now, being front wheel driving with the horsepower 191, the towing capacity is only 2,000 pounds.
Okay.
So I think anybody who wanted to do towing is not going to buy a mid-sized truck anyway.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's definitely not built for that purpose.
Right.
It seems being a pickup truck, you still get a lot of utility out of it.
Well, that's the thing. You get utility, and you can... ours came, it didn't have a feature where you could just grab the door handle and open the door. You have to use either the punch key for a code that you would put in, or use the fob, the button on the fob. But inside, you have to use the key to start the car. There's no push button start.
A bit of old school there.
Yep. Yeah, gotta get used to going back in the day. But I remember back in the day when an innovation was the two-sided key. You could put it in the slot either way. You didn't have to look and see which way the key was.
Now you're dating yourself.
Yes. But that was a Ford innovation back in the day. Hmm. And let's see. Ours is a kind of a nice cactus gray, although I don't usually associate cactus with being gray, and with a black onyx interior trim. And actually, I found this vehicle and handling on the road was quite nice for a small truck. And even on the slippery roads we had, the traction control with the front wheel drive was adequate enough.
Okay. So did you manage to haul anything around other than just yourself?
Well, I made a couple trips to Costco and BJ's.
Okay. So did you fill up the bed with paper towels or something like that? Or a box
of cereal?
Well,
it was raining. I put it all in the back seat.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Which is kind of nice if you've got, you know, a crew cab, that if it's raining, you can put whatever you're hauling or whatever, instead of putting it in the bed, you put it in the back seat, which acts like a trunk. Right. And it had under seat storage on the rear seat.
That's convenient.
Yeah, if you want to use that. Mm-hmm. So that's our ride of the week, the Ford Maverick Hybrid.
So what's the nickels and dimes and pennies on this?
$24,500 it starts at. And I'm sure you can option it up with all kinds of... If you get all-wheel drive, which I think is about a $2,200 option, but you can't get it with the hybrid, the towing capacity goes up to about 4,000 pounds.
Right. Oh, so they didn't put a lot of add-ons here on the model that you were driving.
Right. Which, in a way, is interesting. We usually get the press cars and they're fully loaded.
Yeah. Well, maybe the objective was just the opposite there, to kind of show you the bare bones and what you can get for a truck that's under $25,000.
Right. Somebody starting out in a trade and needing a truck could opt for this vehicle and get very good mileage.
Well, that sounds really great. I hope that circulates through the press corps and we'll get a drive on this end, too.
Yeah, maybe I'll get one for my grandson, who's an electrician apprentice, or help him get one.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, you're mighty generous there, Cousin Rick. So have you got a few other things for us this week? Little pieces
here
and there?
Oh, yeah. Hey, this I find is extremely interesting. This just came in today over the news wire, as we used to say. Now it's over the internet. But Honda just announced today, along with the GM, they have a joint fuel cell venture in Michigan, and it's begun production of fuel cells, which in the coming year, Honda will be selling a fuel cell electric vehicle. They're going to launch it this year, and it's in limited production starting this year, but it's a fuel cell vehicle. And they're also developing, and they have prototypes running in Japan, of commercial vehicles, the heavy-duty trucks in Japan powered by fuel cells. They're fuel cell units. In addition, they're developing the fuel cell to be used in stationary power stations as a pollution-free source of energy. And this is, again, undergoing one of these units. So one of these fuel cell power stations is in operation at the Honda's Torrance, California campus.
Okay.
And they also mentioned establishing hydrogen ecosystems, as they say. In other words, distributing the hydrogen, with several companies developing this in the United States as well as Japan. Japan is really moving ahead in terms of developing a hydrogen infrastructure. And the basic thing would be to produce hydrogen with clean energy. So
right.
We have a clean process.
Well, and that's going to be the key, too, is as with any new way of motorizing our vehicles, is to get the infrastructure in place. So these are all
right,
the fuel cells. Are fuel cells restricted or limited to just hydrogen fuel, or are there other options that you know of?
Well, the hydrogen results in just the process of water vapor being produced. So you'd want to use you have to use hydrogen. Otherwise, you may as well use batteries.
Okay, yeah. I mean that makes sense. So it's not only emissions free in the sense of hydrocarbon emissions. You've got water as the byproduct. So very desirable.
Mm-hmm. Right. Honda is saying in their release that they would produce, the ideal is to produce hydrogen from green energy, but also you can, when the grid is making excess power, you can use that to produce hydrogen by electrolysis to use the hydrogen in whatever application you want to use in a fuel cell.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that technology is inching along, so to speak. We don't hear a lot of it, at least on the common threads that we have in automotive. We know that Toyota has been involved in it for a while with a fuel cell vehicle. So good to hear that there's a little bit more movement there.
Right.
Anything else on
top? Well, speaking of electric powertrains, The company a towing company called Crowley in San Diego has put into has just had delivered an electric powered tugboat, and it has a 6.2 megawatt hour battery system aboard, which can produce enough power to, say, bring in two ocean-going vessels to harbor before needing a recharge.
Okay. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it has a top speed of 12 knots and two 2100 kilowatt motors power this thing, so it's adequate to be used in harbor towing, and on a full charge it'll be able to bring in two ships before needing a recharge. It also has two small diesel generators for emergency use, and if it has to travel further than the battery power alone, if it has to be repositioned somewhere.
Well, generally speaking, you know, 12 knots is adequate for, as you're saying, harbor transport versus, you know, if you're going across a large bay of some sort, maybe those diesel generators will come in handy as well.
Right. It'll enter service once they complete what they call the micro grid charging and storage station that is being installed in the harbor.
Well, that's exciting. Always nice to hear new innovation in transportation.
That's right. You know, electric power is the way to go, as
yeah,
we all know.
Yep. And, you know, the interesting thing, and knowing that there is a lot of resistance to it that seems to be out there, and, of course, a lot of misinformation to fuel that resistance, there's a lot of power at hand with electric motors, whether it's in an automobile or in a tugboat. And
a lot of torque.
That's right.
Especially low-end torque.
Right. Anything else on the agenda?
Okay, well, kind of a little more in sustainability front. Researchers at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute have developed a bacteria that can eat polyethylene plastic and turn it into what they call spider silk, which is very lightweight and strong and can be used for various material applications. And it's biodegradable. So with a lot of the plastics, they don't degrade, they don't biodegrade. And so they say the bacteria naturally consumes polyethylene as a food source, and makes this into like spider silk, like I said, lightweight and strong and biodegradable. So if we can find a use for like that kind of materials, which I think innovative people will, who knows?
Yeah. Well, I hope it's something that they can also contain where they intend to use it. You know, oftentimes these things have some unintended consequences. You wouldn't want this bacteria to get into industrial equipment that is using plastics, you know, to do whatever it is they're designed to do. And have
The process, they say, is similar to many applications now where bacteria are tailored for industrial use. So it seems to be a process or a regimen that's fairly well known and has been done for a while.
Well, interesting technology there then.
And yeah, they called it
They
said spider silk is nature's Kevlar.
Would this be applicable for the plastics that are concentrating themselves in the big circle area in the Pacific Ocean, for example?
Oh, yeah. Well, it, you know, there's so much plastic there. Some of it can, it takes up, it looks like it'll take 1,000 years to degrade. I mean, who knows if we'll be around then, but yeah, it you know, they say it, the bacteria ferment the plastic, and which is a well-known process, you know, that so interesting. Let's see where this goes. And you know, there's so much plastic pollution that hopefully we can somehow get a handle on
That's for sure. Yeah. You know, there's more at
it.
risk here than just simply plastic floating in the water. It gets into the food chain and it creates other problems that eventually fall on species
Right.
like ourselves.
That's right. How much plastic do we have in us?
Not counting many dental work, right?
Right. But then you remember Plastic Man in the old comics?
Oh, was that the one that he could stretch his neck and everything?
It was like a made out of silly putty or something, but I digress.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that for a topic for another podcast, right? Well, it sounds like we're sort of wrapping up right about now.
Right. And I think one thing we should note really quickly here before we close is that the Japanese have landed a probe on the moon and become the fifth nation to land a soft landing probe on the moon. So congratulations to them. And the highlight of the mission was to have a pinpoint landing, which it looks like they did. So they've developed the technology for that.
Oh, great. That's exciting.
Yeah, the probe was missed a little, dis not disoriented, but the orientation when it landed, there was a at the very end there was a thrust disparity between the two engines, and its solar panels didn't deploy fully, but they expect as the sun sets on the moon where the probe is, that it'll be able to recharge the batteries, and they'll get even more data out of it.
Okay. What was the goal as far as the type of data that they're looking for?
Well, basically, it was for to make the pinpoint landing. Then they deployed two micro rovers, which roll and hop about and took pictures of the probe before battery power ran down. They had to shut it down to keep enough battery power so that if the solar panels get enough light, they can start up again.
Okay, well, wonderful development there. I did want to put a plug in here for RPM News Weekly, our parent channel, both on YouTube and on the internet.
That's right. If you want to catch up, if you miss one of our podcasts, you can go to the archive and take care of Rick's Tech Talk for any week.
That's right, rpmnewsweekly.com on the internet. You'll also find our RPM News Weekly channel on YouTube. We freshened up the site a little bit. So there's a few little nuances to the look, and I hope you can find your way there.
That's a wrap. Glad we could get together. Yeah, there's lots of interesting stuff there that you can just poke around and find all kinds of goodies.
That's for sure. Once you get there, you won't want to go away.
That's right. Especially, I think you take a look at that Challenger in the Snow that we did a couple years ago.
Oh yeah, quite a lot of fun up there in New Hampshire in the snow with the new all-wheel drive, at that time new all-wheel drive Challenger. Well, it's good to have you on board, Rick. We'll catch up again next week, as we do every week here on RPM News Weekly, Rick's Tech Talk. You can also find it on Pandora, if you happen to use Pandora, and elsewhere across the wide internet.
Take care and be well.
Likewise, Rick. We'll see you next week.